If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten. Rakuten.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kingdoms Queens podcast. Somehow we are already entering week 12 of the NFL, which is absolutely crazy. I don't know how the season has gone by this quickly, but here we are. We are in week 12, and the Chiefs, unfortunately, suffered their first loss since last Christmas. Yeah, so Chiefs unfortunately suffered a loss to the Buffalo Bills. They just honestly came out hungrier than the Chiefs did, and they wanted the win more, and it showed. And honestly, the Chiefs did not play a terrible game. There are obviously things we can clean up. Offense, defense, and special teams had flaws on Sunday afternoon. So with that comes a loss, but we are here to dive into that with you all. So I'm your host, Lexi.
Hey, y'all, what's up? I'm Jody. Good to be back. So, yeah, like Lexi said, we took a loss this week. Yuck. And I want to say that the way that I had to watch this game by myself in my house, isolated under the blanket, drink, I was like, I already knew I couldn't watch this game around people. It's not happening. So,
no.
it's tough. But I do think, like, when you talk to the Chiefs fans that are super realistic, before the season started, I think that this was one of the games that a lot of people had as, you know what, this could be a loss. This could be a loss. And I mean, when you sit down, and I know we're getting ready to dive into the game, but when you sit down and kind of look at what the record has been like with the Chiefs versus the Bills, it's always been super egregious. They always win in the regular season, and then we always win in the postseason. So to see that we lost this game, is it something I'm surprised by? No. I'm not surprised at all, because we'll see again in January. Like, we'll see you again in January.
We can only hope that like the tradition continues, right? We can only hope that fourth time's a charm for the Chiefs in the playoffs.
1,000%. And hey, you're right, DG. I forgot what it's like to lose because I've been a winner for so long. Like, Jesus Christ, it's been 11 months.
We don't know losing anymore.
We don't know what losing is. We've been winners for 11 months. It's crazy. So, I mean, we definitely can dive into all sides of the ball. We could talk about the offense, the defense, and the special teams. I think it's important to note that the special teams was good again. So, I mean, if we're going to say something that's positive about this game, the special teams, they were great. I'm super excited for our new kicker. He did what he was supposed to do.
Man, I'm so proud of him.
he was great for it to be his first like NFL game, coming in after pressure, literally flying to Kansas City and then getting on a plane and going to Buffalo and having to have that job. Very happy with him. But we can definitely start with the offense. So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
There's positives and negatives from it. Like, Mahomes, I mean, genuinely started off with an interception that was so frustrating. Like, we had this really cool trick play to Xavier Worthy to kick the game off, which is like, thank you, Buffalo Bills, for that trade, right? To get Worthy. And then immediately he throws an interception. And I'm just like, okay, here we go. This is
first, yeah. And as soon as I tweeted it, I said, ooh, I really love the first play. I was like, dang, did I just
jump? I didn't even get to tweet it before he threw an interception. I was like, never mind.
I tweeted it. I was like, did I just jinx this? Absolutely did. So I would take the blame on that one because I was like, ooh, I really like the little razzle dazzle, Andy. Like,
I loved it.
That was cute. But I mean, there's definitely, I have not looked at my Twitter all day, and there was like five things I wanted to pull up and talk about. But there's a lot of things that kind of give like a little bit of concern. So, I mean, when you start off with like just looking at the snap count in general for this game, I was very surprised at how limited the snaps were for DeAndre Hopkins, and how we didn't see Xavier Worthy like at all in the second half. Especially the third quarter was probably the most frustrating, having two three and outs and not generating any points on the board, like, in the third quarter. I was very confused by that.
We just like fell flat. It was like,
I didn't. It was probably the most vanilla. So, okay, yes, Chiefs fans, Andy Reid is going to be incredibly vanilla in the regular season. And I actually had this argument with somebody the other day. I said, we are not the Detroit Lions. We're not going to put up 50 points every game and give our playbook out. We're not doing that. We're not going to give you the keys on how to beat us every single week by blowing teams out by 30, 40, and 50. That's not our formula. That's not who we are. That's what we
do. Nope.
But this was like real vanilla.
Very vanilla. There's been like there's been talk on Chiefs Twitter today, or social media in general, like how, like, okay, so I know it's been a thing for a few seasons now, and we started talking about it our first season of the show about how Andy can be kind of vanilla in the regular season, and then postseason is when he shows all of his cards, right? Because you have to get the win. I believe that is true, but I believe in the same way that we know we kind of needed that win, because I think that if there is a team that can take that one seed away from us, it's the Buffalo Bills, right? So, because they're now 9-2, we're 9-1. They're on bye week now this week, so, you know. But it's not like, I think Andy knew, he even said himself, he's like, I was too conservative in the play calling. And he's like, we needed to do more, because you saw in those drives where we executed, we looked flawless. Like Noah Gray with two touchdowns. Xavier Worthy was cooking in the first half. When we got our run game going, it was good. Like, he abandoned the run. It was just a really bizarre game plan to me, which I understand we'll probably see them in the playoffs, depending on how everything seeding falls and who wins and all that kind of stuff. But like, there's a good chance we see them in the championship game, even at that. So I don't know. It's,
you're right. I was really confused by one. You see what happens when you run the ball. Great things happen when you run the ball. And now I know when you look at last week's game with Kareem Hunt, you could see him like not necessarily being like tired, but maybe a little bit worn down. And maybe that's the downside of having a week six bye since it's week 11. Right. But you could kind of see that in him last week, but this week, he was fine. Like, I specifically remember yelling at my TV when we were at the goal line and he jumped over everybody. And I was like, you are too old to be doing that. Yeah. Please do not. Like, literally, I was like, you're too old to be jumping over people. Please don't get hurt. It's week 11.
Don't hurt yourself. I know.
Weeks, please. But
he was like, he was so desperate to get in the end zone, though. He was trying, man.
That, but we definitely got away from the run game. Don't understand that. I actually hated the play calling the whole entire second half of the game. Like, I hated it. I despised it. And usually Andy is really good, so I don't know if he was in his own head, but you could hear the frustration from Pat, especially when he called that timeout right when they were in the red zone, when Noah Gray was getting ready to score his second touchdown. You could hear Pat yelling, I got this. And for Andy to call that timeout, which one, it was kind of a waste of timeout because you didn't need to do it, to let your offense flow. Patrick has been doing this for season after season after season, and he's three-time Super Bowl champion. So for you to not trust your quarterback in that moment, knowing that he's going to figure out a way to get us in the end zone, you could see that there was some type of a disconnect there. And I don't know necessarily like what that comes from. I hate that they went away from Xavier Worthy. It's important. It's kind of important to talk about that. I've been arguing about that.
Yeah, I know.
There's a lot of Chiefs fans that are annoyed that Xavier Worthy was not in bounds. There's a lot of Chiefs fans that are saying Patrick is inaccurate.
On the other side.
Better, right? Very wide spectrum there on what is the drama. Me, I'm team Xavier. You're a rookie. Get your stuff together and keep your feet freaking inbounds because he threw it to you inbounds. Now, and the week prior, when Patrick threw it out of bounds, that was a problem and he corrected it and we still didn't get it.
I feel like they have to be practicing this over and over again during the week, right? And they're probably nailing it in practice.
During
and then
the week,
for whatever
they
reason.
Did it on training camp. We were literally at St. Joe watching him throw 50 and 60 yard bombs every day. Every day.
And like they've had the connection in practice, in training camp, preseason. Like, I don't know why they're struggling with that in the regular season. It's almost like they're both in their own heads and something's just disconnecting, because I feel like you can honestly blame either of them for that play. You can say, well, Mahomes should have thrown it 5 feet to the right and it would have been a walk-in touchdown, right? Or Worthy should have dragged his left foot or right foot, whatever foot it was.
He has to get that together. Like,
he has to get this footing.
There was nobody by him. He was by himself. You'll remember the game last year when Kadarius Toney was by himself and Patrick threw that ball and he adjusted his whole entire body, gloves and everything. We need that from him. And I get that he's a rookie and he's still learning and it's week 10, but he's going to get there. But now there's been two plays within 3 weeks that would have been 90 yards touchdown score that are wiped off the board because we were out of bounds and we couldn't catch the ball. So,
and it was like, it's been like, almost every week they've disconnected on a long, not every week, but it's been like 4 or 5 weeks.
The last three games, 100%.
Yeah.
Ever now since they had won against the Ravens.
Well, and he had a nice one to him. He had a nice one to him in week four against the Chargers where, I mean, just completely, it wasn't even like a route. He just ran straight down the field, tracked the ball and
he Tyreek Hill'd him. You're down there somewhere.
Yeah. Literally. So like, we just need, and I do think now, like I compared it to Tyreek Hill today, Tyreek Hill's rookie season, which I know they're completely different players. Tyreek Hill was a later round pick. I understand all of those things. He didn't have Mahomes year one, whatever, but I think it's similar in the fact that one thing is Chiefs fans have insanely high standards right now, which we should.
It's because they weren't here before Patrick Mahomes.
But right, you weren't here before to see all of that stuff. So like, you weren't here to see the Tyreek Hill struggles in year one. You weren't here to like, and I understand first round versus late round pick, whatever you want to say about that. But like, I genuinely think we've seen this stuff from Xavier Worthy that has promise. I think if he just adjusts these certain things, like, they will be flawless together. And he made really, I mean, did you see that one catch? I think it was in the first quarter where, I mean, literally Mahomes, it was kind of a dangerous pass, but Worthy caught it and he was like body slammed by two defenders. And I was like, dear God. Yeah. But like, he made that catch, he held on to it. I mean, he's had really promising moments. So I'm not
All of those were short yardage. So I'm not sure what is going on with. They'll get it together. Like,
they will.
I have faith in Patrick. I have faith in Xavier. And if anything, he's probably completely embarrassed after listening to the radio, Kansas City Sports Radio, and watching all of NFL live, whatever, on ESPN. He's probably embarrassed himself to humble himself to get it together. So I fully expect great things from here. Now, let's talk about the offensive line and the left tackle situation, because God bless. It's not good. And you feel it and see it from Patrick. And he is holding on to the ball way too long. Like, why are you holding on to the ball so long? And maybe it's because his receivers are not getting open. But if you watch the all 22, there's always somebody open. Noah Gray, Juju caught a really big pass that was great. DeAndre Hopkins was covered the whole game, but he's just
Peyton Hendershot. Peyton Hendershot had a really good contested throw.
He did, and it wasn't even supposed to go to him, but he knew to be available.
Yeah.
He knew to move around and be available, which is what I need Zay to learn. He knew to be available. So let's talk about the offensive line, especially at the left tackle position. We're still struggling there every single week. Wanye was not great this week. And I know that, like, there was the speculation about possibly moving Tooney to left tackle from left guard, which I think is a horrible idea. But I know that there was a speculation about that. Now, the last 2 weeks have not been great. I was very surprised at the fact that Kingsley Suma-Mataia was a healthy scratch this week. But that, I guess, just kind of tells you about, like, what the coaching staff thinks about what his performance has looked like in practice. Clearly, it hasn't been good. And I can't even remember the rookie they brought up.
Ethan Driscoll. Yeah.
They brought him up, which luckily.
Which he's like 7 feet tall.
Yeah, he's massive. He's, but luckily.
Like 6'9" or something crazy.
Yeah. But Wanye was healthy enough to be out there the whole entire game. But how many times did Pat get sacked? Right. Like, it was not good, the amount of times that Patrick got sacked versus our defense having zero sacks.
We're not even into the defense yet, so I won't even touch on that yet. But I fully agree. And the weird thing was, I was looking at some people comparing stats today with Wanye and Donovan Smith. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, because actually it's very similar numbers. So I don't know if maybe like his vet presence kind of made it feel less like it was.
Because I can't say that on this podcast. He's not a Captain Save a Blank, if you know what I'm trying to get. No, it's not like he's coming in here and making mounds of a difference of what he's doing. I think, yes, it is the veteran presence and people are used to the name and what he's done, but Patrick was still last year, right? And that's probably what it is. People probably want the veteran experience. For me, I do want us to go get Donovan Smith, but it's not a matter of starting him over Wanye. It's a matter of we need depth. What happens if Wanye, who looks like he's only 80%, gets hurt again and it's only week 12? We have a problem. We have a real problem at that point if something happens and he goes down. So for me,
exactly, because
solely for depth reasons. You're going to go out and add receivers to the practice squad. Go out and add somebody else to the practice squad that can help at this tackle position, because I wouldn't want us to have to move Tooney over to tackle versus.
No, I don't. Yeah, I see theories of that happening, and I don't want that either. I like our interior O-line where they are. They all are fantastic at their positions, and I want it to stay that way. I think Juwan Taylor at right tackle, he's had good weeks and he's had bad weeks. He hasn't had a ton of penalties this season, which is nice.
Yeah, and I wasn't even mad at his penalty on Sunday. I'm like, first of all, the game was over.
Honestly.
Patrick held the ball for like 10 seconds. Throw the ball.
Did you see what, I think it was it Ed Oliver? I think it was their Bills rusher, Ed Oliver, I think, who he totally baited the referee into buying what he was selling. And I was watching a little bit of film on it today, and someone else reposted it too, but they were like, he basically like threw his arm once he realized Mahomes was beating him on the run. He threw his arm so that it would look like Juwan was holding him. And he told, I mean, immediately after he did it, he was like, yeah, that's a flag. I'm like, you totally
there were so many missed flags in this game. I was just like, this is dumb. Like the face mask on Trent McDuffie.
Yes.
The face mask on Trent McDuffie.
Stiff arm face mask, yeah.
Chris Jones being held again the whole entire game, which is wild because he was the only one who was getting pressure, which we can go ahead and get into the defense, but I just want to say with the offense, not happy at the amount of limited snaps that happened there. Travis Kelce was not active in this game at all. Like, hi, are you here? And it wasn't even a matter of him being doubled and triple teamed because he wasn't. So I don't know what was happening there with that.
Just weird.
DeAndre Hopkins was a dog, which I'm so glad that he's here. And I know it's only been like 3 weeks, but Jesus Christ.
Right.
Like,
he's like,
come back next year.
Please. He is making every contested catch. Like, he
literally.
So yeah, Noah it was Gray just a weird game plan.
Noah Gray.
Yeah.
What were you saying?
I don't know, but yeah, I think it was just a weird. It was just a weird game plan. Just weird. Yeah. Just
I don't like it. Not one bit. Not one bit. No. Not one bit. Like not one bit. And Spags, I do want to. Since we're going to the defense,
yeah, let's
the
talk
way
about
that. I laughed at Spags for being damn near on the field, get ready to run out there while he's calling plays, like he's about to go out there and be in the secondary himself. Like
y'all are not executing.
I'm like, please don't run out on the field and get a flag, Spags. Like, we can't afford any more flags in this game. We
might have.
He was so frustrated, and you can see it. So, I think it's kind of important to kind of talk about the defensive line.
Very important.
It is where they have been great. They are so great at stopping the run defense. Nobody can run on us besides Josh Allen on the very last play of the game. Whatever. Nobody can run on us. They are able to stop the run. They held – what's his name? Can't think of their one.
James Cook.
They held James Cook to less than 50 yards in the first half. And I was like, okay, this is fantastic. Josh Allen wasn't running all over like you kind of expect him to do, which we saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the fact that we can get no pressure at all from these freaking edges at all is driving me insane. And when you kind of look back, and so I don't know if it was a combination of their O-line being good, which they're not really great, and our linebackers, I don't know what, because Spags had them all over. Like, he had them, some of them playing super deep in the secondary, but then there were times where he were like, let's blitz, and he would bring them up to rush, and then we still weren't getting any pressure. So it's like, okay, you see that nothing's happening right now with four. Well,
and I feel like maybe we need to blitz someone other than McDuffie because he's our best coverage cornerback. So
probably be in the secondary.
So I'm like, we don't really need him blitzing. Like, maybe send someone else to blitz, like a Leo Chenal or someone like that to blitz, because we need McDuffie back with their best receivers. And it just, I know. And
I don't know what happened in this game.
I think what's really frustrating, I don't either. And I think what's really frustrating, and that's why people are like, they have to be saving something because it makes no sense. But I don't
think it was a matter of them saving something. It feels like they were trying something new.
But like why would you build? Like, what are we?
Because more than likely, because we know we're going to see them again. So if we know it's going to work, then it's.
I
will say, like, this game taught them what they cannot do going against them next time. Like, there was. And the fact that we only lost by 9, like, the fact that the game was so close for so long, I was genuinely shocked by that, because Buffalo probably should have blew us out. They should have blew us out. By the way, we agree,
but we adjusted well to them for most of the second half. It just, I don't know. They just got the better of us towards the end. And I don't know. I don't know how on that last 4th and 2, you don't have a spy on Josh Allen. I do not understand that. So that's a huge problem. I think our D-line, I don't know why George has, like, kind of fallen off this season.
Yeah, he's not
being Mike Dana right. has been injured, and he just is not getting the pressure we need. And then we got Josh Uche from the Patriots, and he played 5 snaps, and I don't understand that either. So,
I might understand that, though. I feel like they're slowly ramping him up like they slowly ramp D-Hop up. But I feel like in the first game with D-Hop, we seen way – more snaps from, like, we saw more snaps from D-Hop than I was expecting. But yeah. I think that they trust the defense more. Lost Lexi there for a second. She'll be back. I feel like they trust the defense more which is why they didn't put Uche out there. But I also think that with Charles and Minnehue coming back in the next couple of weeks, hopefully very quickly, those two together are going to be so dynamic on that defensive line. So I think that's, like, maybe my thought process there, why we didn't see so much of him, because they definitely wanted to keep him limited for that reason. But he's going to be able to make those adjustments once we actually need him. I mean, once Charles and Minnehue comes back, it's going to be – those two together are going to be very dynamic, because we brought him in because he's a speed rusher. So it's like, if we know we need to get pressure, you should probably put him on the edge and not maybe have FAU out there. So – Welcome back.
Sorry, I just lost my connection there for some reason.
I'm like, who? Welcome.
But I agree. Charles Menehue will be a great addition. So yes. Anyway, to wrap it up, the Chiefs will be totally fine. It sucks to get a loss, but I think adversity builds a team. And we move, you know? We got to
snap in the playoffs. 21 years ago.
And like you said, it's tradition. It's tradition to lose to the Bills in the regular season. And Chiefs are going to learn and be fine.
They took away a lot from this game. So, we're getting ready to talk about the Panthers now. I do think that this will be a really good get right game too.
Yeah.
But we can definitely get into that now. Actually, we have a promo.
Real quick, I'm going to talk about Autograph. So we are partnering with the Autograph app, a fandom company co-founded by NFL legend Tom Brady. Their new app, Autograph, gives diehard fans like you a one-stop shop for all the best fan content for your favorite team, obviously the Chiefs, and rewards you for doing what you're already doing as a fan. For example, you can listen to The Kingdom's Queens anywhere, but when you listen on the Autograph app, you earn coins that can then be redeemed for amazing rewards, including free discounted and no-fee tickets, memorabilia and merch, and one-of-a-kind experiences. Download the Autograph app in the App Store or Google Play Store today for free, and then use our referral code KingdomsQueens. That's referral code KingdomsQueens. The Autograph app, where your fandom lives. Now, we are going to bring on our lovely guest, who is a beat writer for the Panthers. She is awesome. I started following her earlier this season, and I've enjoyed kind of seeing the content she puts out. We don't follow the Panthers a ton because we don't really play them that often. But it's kind of it's a fun game. It's a fun matchup. The Panthers kind of found a fun win overseas 2 weeks ago. They had a bye week, and Bryce Young has been finding his stride a little bit. So
game winning streak, baby.
Without further ado, we're going to bring on our lovely guest, Sheena Quick. Welcome.
That's Sheena. Two games.
Yes.
Listen, we'll take what we can get here, okay? It's been a long time coming.
We are so happy that you are here with us today, Sheena. Yes, I feel like I've been following you for so long as well, and I just like love your content. And
thank you.
I mean, I know it's not necessarily like the easiest to report for teams that don't win every single game, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So I appreciate it.
I will tell you this: at least it's not boring. There's always something going on. There's always something. Yeah. So at least it's not boring. Okay.
Very, very true. We're so glad to have you with us tonight. So thank you for joining us. And I'm excited to dive into this game. I mean, it's a fun matchup. Like I said, the Chiefs and Panthers don't play each other that often. So
every 4 years.
I can't even. Yeah, we haven't been in Carolina in a long time. So yeah. I know our fans out there are excited. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
The 2020 game was it in Kansas City.
So eight years.
With, 8 years. Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much. Yeah. Which well, even then, it ended up being a much better game than I anticipated. That was actually
I want you to tell the people who you are, what you do, how long you've been writing. Let them know who you
are. Let us know your story. Yeah.
Because the people want to. So. We love to support women in sports too. So, yeah.
So I'm Sheena Quick. I have been covering the NFL, namely the Carolina Panthers. This is my ninth season for Fox Sports 1340. And, you know, my co-host, Vashti Hurd, we host like a weekly halftime space called Quick Blitz. We did have a podcast show that we're bringing back later this season where the two of us talk about all things Carolina, the good, the bad, the outfits, the on-field stuff in the locker room, you know, things that have gotten us through all these losing seasons, okay? Because we have to find some type of joy in it.
Absolutely. But,
and other than that, you guys can find me getting sassy with people on Twitter every now and again.
Don't we all?
Man. So, yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
No, but if you guys ever want insight into the Panthers, please follow Sheena. She always has awesome content. She's always out there getting the info that you all want to see.
I do want to ask you a question. What was it like last year? So you were at the draft last year when it was in Kansas City then, right? And you guys had the number one pick with Bryce Young. What was like that like for you? And I know we're not talking about this season, but you know, the draft was in KC.
The whole process, yeah.
Yeah, we were both there too. It was so much fun. But like, what is that like, number one pick?
It was interesting because of everything they gave up to get that number one pick. It was like, oh my God, it has to be a slam dunk. You know, they have to nail this. You know, they had put together this all-star coaching staff and things like that. But everybody leading up to the draft, it was, is it CJ Stroud? Is it Bryce Young? People were searching for all these Easter eggs in everything. They were going back watching the senior tape film and watching how the coaches interacted with each prospect. And so I think that Bryce Young was their safe pick and that's who they picked. But and CJ Stroud went on to do great things. And unfortunately for Bryce, the circumstances here weren't that great. He will forever be tied to CJ Stroud and how CJ Stroud does. Stroud and Anthony Richardson, they're going to always be linked because of how tight that race was as far as who was going to get that, who was going to be chosen at number one.
That's just how that goes.
It was exciting, though. It was fun, though. It was fun.
Yeah. We have that this year with our wide receiver, Xavier Worthy, and then Keon Coleman on the Bills. We have that little, always going to be tied together because of what we gave up. And they, you know, it's just how it goes.
Yeah.
Obviously, Bryce had a rough season, his first season. But
he deserves so much better.
But and I know
he does. Jody and I this is kind of like a rookie. This is like a rookie redo, I feel like.
Yeah.
I feel like this season is a rookie redo for Bryce because you couldn't have really assessed him properly with everything else that was going on. You know, Frank Wright was calling plays. Then it goes to Thomas Brown. Then Frank Wright takes back over. Then he gets fired. Now it's Thomas Brown again. That's a lot sacked over 60 times. So you're over here like, okay, who's calling the plays? What am I going to do?
90 pounds.
But I will say this, everyone was ragging on his size and how he was going to, you know, be injured. Out of those three quarterbacks, he missed the least amount of games due to injury. I think that's very important to note because a lot of people look at his stature, but he was very durable because he was getting hit. He just was getting back up.
Now, listen, I'm going to compare it again to our guy, Xavier Worthy. They said that about his size. He's tiny, but look who's out. Keon Coleman's out injured. Xavier's not. So I'm just saying, I'm just saying, you know.
Small but mighty.
Right.
And I think what's hard for these young quarterbacks, too, and I think there's been a lot of discussion around it this year, is, like, these young quarterbacks, they're not given a chance to really develop. And, like,
no, they're not.
And it's, like, with Caleb Williams, we're seeing it in Chicago, too. I mean, it all depends what you have around you, the coaching staff you have around you, how you're developing. I mean, it's just.
But they gave Caleb Williams everything.
They did.
Weapon-wise, they did. Yeah.
Bryce Young did not have nearly as many.
No, not at all.
So he got
everything.
He had everything. I agree. Carolina's wide receiver one.
Yeah.
They had everything, including DJ. Yes. I mean, the thing that's crazy, though, is they did everything plus DJ. The thing that people tend to forget is that when these quarterbacks are number one, they're normally going to a team that sucks. Now, granted, Chicago got that pick from the Panthers, but they still would have been picking pretty high. But if your team is drafting in the top five, even top eight, it's because your team sucked last year. Yeah. And oftentimes, if you want to throw a rookie quarterback in there, you're not going to have a Jaden Daniels situation. You're not going to have a CJ Stroud situation.
Right.
Both of those teams were perennially bad and were able to build through the draft to get to the point where all they needed was a quarterback. And because Steve Wilks did such a good job on the back end of Matt Rhule being fired, David Tepper was lulled into thinking this team was just a quarterback away, and it just simply wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago, they got all these picks from Carolina. We fleeced them. We did this. We did that. We got their wide receiver one. We go and get Keenan Allen. We got Romeo and Dunza. You know, we're going to be fine, and you're not.
So that's
the thing that, like you said, they don't give them – and Bryce Young had a much, like you said, a much worse situation than Caleb Williams, but they weren't giving him the grace that they're giving Caleb because Bryce is 5'10".
Right. Yep.
And I mean, even with CJ Stroud, he had a lot. I mean, they went 2-3 in the draft, you know? So even last year, that Texans team, you could almost immediately feel it with not only with quarterback, but the coaching. And then they added on their defense. Oh, yeah. Too. Like, they immediately fixed it in like a day.
Well, you know, remember Jody,
it was a culture switch.
Well, the season before, we played the Texans because we played the AFC South, and they took us to overtime with what was their long neck quarterback? What was his name?
I don't know, but that was the year they were rotating between their two quarterbacks, kind of like what
the long neck.
The long neck. I know it's mean, but like what?
I can't remember his name.
But they took us to overtime with like a good Chiefs team. I mean, you know, so they had players.
Any given Sunday.
Yeah.
Any given Sunday.
Exactly, which we'll get into with this game.
Yeah, I do want to also ask you, so you guys have seen a lot now with the quarterback switching. You guys have went from Andy Dalton to Bryce Young, Bryce Young to Andy Dalton, so on. Like, what is that about? I will say, like, what I do enjoy is that Bryce Young has been still positive. It seems like he's still been confident. But what was that about, like, pulling him, putting Andy in? Why?
So like, I was probably in the minority. I think that Bryce was pulled for a factory reset. You know, even without Andy having the thumb injury, we were going to see Bryce Young again this season. We had to. Because, again, this is a rookie redo for him. You don't really have a good sense of what you have if you're basing all of that on Bryce Young last season. You know what I mean? So when you look at that, I think that Bryce, I don't know if he was still kind of shell-shocked from last season because he took a lot of hits. You know, and my concern last year was, are you starting to anticipate these hits? And when you do that, is it breaking down the foundation in your footwork and your fundamentals? Because again, Bryce is slight in stature, but he made up for it in just sound fundamentals. And that's why people were okay with taking him number one. But then when those fundamentals start to crack, what do you have? And these first two games of the season, I think he was still a little bit shell-shocked. He had a clean pocket a lot of the times and was still kind of panicking. So I think it was good that they pulled him back, let him kind of reset a little bit. He got to sit on the sideline and watch, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, Davis Mills.
After it was, Davis Mills.
Davis Mills. But yeah, he got to sit back, and that was a situation Bryce Young has never been in before. He's always been that guy. And he's always been on a team that had
those
guys surrounding him. Yeah. So you come to Carolina, and it's a culture shock. Like, when he had lost six games, I said he probably hadn't lost six games cumulatively since he was in my quarterback. So it was a shock to the system.
And it's like Trevor Lawrence going to the Jags, and he had never lost a game, like ever, hardly, right? And so
they were like, "We got news for you, buddy."
Yeah, we got news for you. totally different quarterback, but you know, it's like it's these situations
a similar situation though.
Yeah,
he went first. You're going first to these teams. These teams are drafting this high because they're bad.
They are bad,
and they're really bad.
I think we have to stop giving up on these young quarterbacks so quickly because I think they can develop. Yeah. And I think like with Bryce, I think he started this season again, probably with low confidence. Everyone was kind of sleeping on the Panthers. No one thought the Panthers are going to be anything. Right. So I think he started with low confidence once again, and then it doesn't bode well for the start of your season. Then he gets benched, yada, yada. I think him getting benched and then getting to play again, like, really restored all that confidence for him. And like, or I think he just saw it as an opportunity. Sure. Like, I'm going to go make the best of this. And he's won two games in a row, which is awesome.
They did the same thing with Anthony Richardson in the Colts.
And then Bryce.
Yeah, same thing.
Yeah. Because if you're really looking at it, you know, a lot of people were okay watching Carolina lose with Andy Dalton there because he's a prototypical quarterback. He looks like an NFL quarterback. He's the stereotype. He's the prototype. You know what I mean?
And Red Rocket.
I mean, if we really look at it, Andy didn't look. He didn't look that much better than Bryce.
He couldn't. Right? No, he didn't.
The Raiders have they won another game?
No.
Well, we're so happy that they have.
Arguably, you had to go back to him.
Yeah.
So I mean, you had again. This is Bryce's team. You know, you gave up everything. Andy's on the last year of a 2-year. You got to see what Bryce has in him. And I think we're kind of slowly but surely getting Bryce back.
I want to know your thoughts too, real quick, before we dive into around the NFL. I want to know your thoughts about Dave Canales being your new head coach and how you think he's doing so far. Has he shifted the culture at all? Just kind of your thoughts on him.
I do think he's shifting the culture, because I think that even though he's overwhelmingly positive in the pressers and the way that, you know, he presents to the meet to the public, I think he's still realistic. And a lot of people are like, oh, enough of the positivity. And I'm like, but if you listen to him all training camp, he acknowledged that this team has a way to go. I think that he's honest with them, and that's why players respect him so much. They're not getting the used car salesman. They're not getting the motivational speaker. You know, they're getting a coach that's like, look, that was good, but y'all got to fix this other stuff.
Yeah.
I know, really, you have to fix this other stuff. He's cognizant of the fact that there were so many holes on this team. It was not going to be fixed immediately in one offseason.
Right.
And again, it sucks to tell Panthers fans to be patient, because they've been hearing that for seasons now. But that's just the reality of where you are. Like, from 2-15, which honestly last year they should have been 0-17, if we're really being honest. They won on two walk-off kicks.
Yeah, well, you know, and so. But I think it's good to be realistic, because then you're not saying, okay, we're going to go out and win a Super Bowl right away, right? You're saying it's going to take some time to build, but we can get there. We have a lot of talent. You just have to keep adding the right pieces, building in the draft, and then eventually, and it's not going to come as quick as you want, because in the NFL, everyone wants to win right now, but that's not realistic. So, I mean, look at the Chiefs. It took us forever. Right. It took us forever to build a winning team. We finally got there, and we're here, and we're enjoying it, but it took forever.
Well, and I'll say too, like, the NFC South is just not that great in general. So it's not, everybody has high expectations for the Falcons and the Saints. And they're not.
The Falcons are going to falcon.
Physically, right. they're not giving what we thought we were going to get from them. I thought that with Kirk Cousins and them still signing Michael Penix and whatever it is they were doing up there, that the Falcons were going to deliver better than what they were. And I don't know what's happening with the Saints at all. They came out really hot and they got really cold. So they're still
the Saints. The Saints are who we thought they were. They are who we thought they were. They thought that they were coming in and they had been, you know, one of the more veteran teams in the division, that they were just going to run the table, and they were wrong.
I think what's funny is, like,
and Jody again, and I, you know, the NFC South.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, what were you saying?
I was going to say, Jody and I were saying early on, we were saying the NFC South looked really good and promising, because Falcons came out hot, Bucks came out hot.
Yeah.
Saints came out hot. Like, everyone came out hot. Panthers, not so much. I'm sorry. But,
girl, I know. I know. Last year was their season.
So I mean, I'm just being realistic. But we were like, maybe the NFC South is better than we think. And then it kind of came to reality. And now we kind of see where everyone's at.
Jody, why are you laughing? Because I was telling you, I felt like last season was the season to win that division.
Yeah.
The division was cheeks. I'm sorry. That's like the nicest way I can put it. And, you know, and if you really look at it now, everyone's probably like, oh, okay, they have these vet QBs other than the Panthers, obviously. You know, the NFC South should be strong, but the vet QBs are Derek Carr and Kirk Cousins. I mean, and Kirk, shout out to his agent, okay? He stays booked and get in the bag.
But my God.
He stays paid.
Which is why I don't understand why they went out and got Michael Penix, because they could have got him maybe next year. I don't understand why they went out and picked him with their first pick. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get into
I think that they were questioning Kirk Cousins' health.
Health.
You know, he was coming off of that injury.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
And even with that, you know, but at least Penix is going to get his chance to sit, like we talked about, like Pat Mahomes did. He's going to get a chance to sit, and the Falcons may be better for it. Yeah, I mean, but they're still going Falcon because they're the Falcons.
And I think I think Alex Smith.
I'm sorry, I had to take that dig.
You should. Because I had to wear a car one, but I held it in.
I know. We all have digs.
Why did you hold that in and let that fly? No, we got to let the car slander fly.
He's not in the AFC West anymore, so I don't have to give him slander, I guess.
I'll do it for you.
And I feel like Kirk Cousins is very similar to Alex Smith, so, like, it's good for those guys to sit behind guys like that. I think Alex Smith is probably a little better, but I feel like Kirk Cousins definitely is pretty solid, right? Definitely better.
He was definitely better than Cousins. I think so.
Got us to the playoffs every year, won the division. Yeah. Now, he didn't do nothing when he got there.
Got us there.
Right? We got Chiefs, we got Panthers, and we ain't seen y'all in 4 years. And I heard that the tickets were like dirt cheap to this game, which was mind blowing because
probably
like, ooh, I should go. Like, if the tickets if they only $50,
you should.
Can you give me a field pass? Can I come cover with you?
Girl, they won't even give me a field pass.
They're stingy. They're freaking stingy. We know.
They are. I think
we know. They're stingy.
The only people with the field pass now might be like one of the news stations. But yeah.
What's the vibe in Carolina going into this week? Like, what's the media saying? How are the fans feeling? What's the vibe? What's going on there?
I know that had y'all won that game last week, the fans were feeling great about being the trap game. They were like, oh, you know, Kansas City's been flirting with, you know, flirting with Lady Luck for a really long time. Maybe they're going to run out in Carolina. I don't know, but I do think that this game could be closer than people are thinking.
Absolutely.
Because, again, I didn't travel to Kansas City in 2020 because I thought they were going to be blown out. And I was pleasantly surprised. Now, there's no Christian McCaffrey anymore. But there's a Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah. Chuba Hubbard's there's having a good season.
There's a Jatavion Sanders. Adam Thielen's coming back. There's an Xavier Leggett and a Jalen Coker.
Yeah.
So Bryce Young has some pass catchers.
Leggett.
I'm just ready to see Dollar Bill. If we see Dollar Bill twice, this is a whole different game. That's all I'm going to say. It's a whole different game, but it's going to come down to the trenches for sure.
Come
down to the trenches.
As a Chiefs fan, we don't follow the Panthers a whole lot just because I don't even mean that in any way. We don't watch a lot of Panthers games. They don't come on a lot in our area.
Yeah.
We haven't played you guys in a long time. So kind of fill us in on what you think the Panthers like strong spots are and what you think their weaknesses are right now.
Running the ball. If you can run the ball, it opens up so much. It opens up so much in that playbook for Bryce Young. Bryce Young is not forcing things. You know, he, in those two wins, he didn't necessarily light up the stat sheet, but the stat that matters is the dub. Because whether we like it or not, that's a quarterback stat. He has game managed well. He's taken care of the ball. He's not throwing the ball away, creating unnecessary turnovers. There were a few passes that were dropped. Last week, we expect those rookies to continue to develop and get better and to make those catches. They're getting open. That's not something we saw in Carolina last year. They're getting open, and Bryce is being protected. This is like one of the top O-lines in the entire league. They get Ike Ikwuanu back. He's been out with an ankle injury. Cade Mays and Brady Christensen were great in his absence. They lost their center early in the season in Austin Corbett. And those two guys, being a positionless offensive line, has really, really helped when they have to slide someone to the side. They haven't had any drop-off. And so getting Ike back is going to be even better. But the strong suits are definitely in the run game and in the rookie pass catchers.
So will Ike be back for the Chiefs game?
He will be back.
You know, everybody.
I told you, Adam Thielen's coming back too. You know, DJ gave them a spark. He made his Panthers debut in Munich a couple weeks ago. So you know they're getting a little bit more pressure on the quarterback than they had been getting the first couple of weeks.
Well, and the thing is with the Chiefs D line right now is I don't know if you've noticed, but they've been getting a lot of pressure, but they're not finishing with sacks. So and that's a huge issue for
They're stopping the run.
They are stopping the run. They are known for doing that.
Now, I know Josh Allen ran on us and scored a touchdown. However, I will say that is the one thing that – now, Bryce will probably be able to light us up with your receivers and your tight ends. Not going to doubt that.
Tight ends, for sure.
Our secondary is not strong right now. But your run game – you might not have the run game that you're expecting to have. It'll probably be more jet sweeps, if anything, because our defense is stopping the run, which is a blessing. But our secondary is very leaky right now. So I would not be surprised if you guys were able to.
She's like,
I'm just being super honest. Like, I would not be surprised if Adam Thielen with 75 yards or 100 yards on us on Sunday.
We definitely have some defense adjustments we need to make. I think they have a good defensive plan going into this week. I think it's like a new kind of plan, but I do wonder. I know you guys have struggled against tight ends as well in your defense.
Well, this defense has struggled against everybody.
Well,
but I will say the second you guys follow me, y'all know I keep it real.
It's good.
I'm super honest.
Yeah,
I will say though, you know, like I said, with DJ Wanham, and I know it was the Giants. To be fair, I know it was the Giants, but DJ Wanham, you know, everyone was highly anticipating his debut. Because he's been out all season with injuries and different things that came from that. But he made his presence felt immediately. Like that D-line played totally different with him in there. And I don't know if it's just a comfort level, like, okay, I can just lock in on my assignments and, you know, make sure that I'm executing gap integrity because I know everybody else is doing their job. It's a lot easier to be a cohesive unit when you have that trust that everybody's going to do what they need to do. That if I get in the face of the quarterback, I know JC's locking stuff down. You know, or, you know, I know that if I set this edge, you know, Jadeveon Clowney is coming. You know what I mean? So I think that we saw that unit play as a unit last week with Josie Joel coming back. He had been out with injury.
Yeah, he's very good for you guys.
He missed games too. So this defense has been banged up. Nick Scott's gone. You know, he's not gone, but he's on IR. They're playing a lot of young guys back there.
Were you on a bye week?
What's that? Yeah.
So y'all are well rested too.
They're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very well rested.
Well, because I remember a few weeks ago you had a tweet where it was like half of your team was out on injury, and I was like, "What?"
Listen, man, I'm like, do I have to put it in two separate like threads?
Oh my God,
because I couldn't fit the entire injury report. But they did get a chance to get some guys back healthy. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the biggest loss on defense, obviously, Derrick Brown.
Yeah.
You know, after week two, then Shaq Thompson out for the season. So this defense already had its work cut out for them. They lost 5 starters from last season. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
So then the Chiefs are also battling with a ton of injuries as well. Mainly
we don't even have our kicker.
We have a brand new kicker that was here last week.
But he did well. He did well.
First time ever playing in the NFL, he was on the practice squad. But I mean, the Chiefs also are battling with a ton of injuries too, and we're just kind of waiting for guys to come back too. We lost a lot of guys week one. You know what I mean? Week one.
And yeah.
It's been like week after week, starter. So that's been frustrating. But I will say too, like, I think as our mentality as Chiefs fans is we want to play every team at full strength as much as you can, right? You want to get every team's best.
Yeah, of course.
Like, and it makes you guys better. Like, it makes everyone better that you're playing. So I think our biggest hope probably for this week is that our team isn't asleep on the Panthers and they don't look at it as like a, oh, it's the Panthers. We can lollygag our way in there and hopefully win, right? Like, I hope it's a game they put their full effort into.
They're going to have to after last week.
They have to.
They have to.
And I think that's like the thing that like, and I know we're going to get into score predictions and stuff later, but I will say like, I think that's one of the things a lot of Chiefs fans are looking for. They are hoping that this week is a, did you guys make the adjustments from last week? Not even necessarily that, oh, we're playing the Panthers. It's, does the secondary look better? Are we getting more pressure? Are you getting to Bryce Young? You know what I mean? That's the thing that I think a lot of Chiefs fans are going to be looking for, because that was our biggest opportunity coming out of last week. So what would you say are your keys to the game for beating the Chiefs this week?
They've got to make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable if you're even able to do that. Because if you let him sit back in that pocket, he's Swiss cheese.
Have you seen our left tackle?
I wasn't going to say anything because I'm not trying to get any brujeria over here at the Panthers. I'm not going to say anything about anything. But the key definitely is getting some pressure. They're going to have to get some pressure on him. Take Travis Kelce out of the game as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Just make it uncomfortable. And again, on the offensive side of the ball, you're going to have to run the ball. You're going to have to impose your will. I know you said you guys have a good run defense. make them prove that they're a good run defense.
Absolutely.
You know, Chuba's coming off of that extension, coming off of a career high 153 yards on the ground. If a team can run the ball on you, that is demoralizing. Nothing takes the soul out of a team like getting the ball run on you. So that's going to be important for them to set that standard really, really early in the game.
And I feel like the trenches pride themselves on that. So like the O-line loves blocking for running, the D-line loves stopping it. So you're right. It is. If the team can figure out a way to run on you, it's not a good feeling. So
it's not a good feeling. And then you got Rob Hunt out there doing what he does, you know, Taylor Moten, Damian Lewis. This is a good offensive line.
It is.
And we have not been able to say that for a long time here.
That's awesome. But that's great.
And I think, I think you guys have stepped up a lot and just in these past few weeks, and they should be feeling confident, right? Like they've come out with wins and they're playing a Chiefs team that are back-to-back champions, and they're going to want that win against us to kind of prove like who and they are. Like we're the Panthers, but we can beat the Chiefs or we can run with them, right? Like we can keep up
and
with
them. The other thing is they have a good rookie class here. And these aren't guys that are coming in with the stench of Panthers seasons past. You know what I mean? Like if you just had a bunch of veterans and they're just so used to everybody just running all over. These guys are new. They're looking like, I mean, why shouldn't we beat y'all?
Yeah.
You know, why not us? So I think I think that's something, you know, that comes along with it. So like you said, like I said, running the ball, but also getting those rookie pass catchers involved. I think that Jatavion Sanders could be the X factor on Sunday.
So this person says so many missed field goals last week, which is true, but your guys' kicker has been really good.
We can't relate.
Yeah, you can't relate. Your kicker has been really good.
Yeah.
He's like one of the like the best records in the NFL right now, which is crazy.
Because literally what happened last week? I need somebody to message me all of the missed kicks from last week, and it was like 8. And I was like, Lord in heaven,
Keep that away from us.
No, I love your keys to the game because I do think that is important, especially if you're able to create that run game. That is something that can definitely be a difference maker because it's going to have to make Spags be able to, instead of some of the guys that he would maybe having too high or playing, you know, in poor coverage, he's going to have to make them come up and stop the run, which I feel good about our run defense. So that's not where I'm stressed out for this game. I'm stressed out about your receivers being able to go off on us. So I will say, I think like if I had to talk about the Chiefs' keys to winning, it's you got to get Bryce Young on the ground. Like we're not seeing any pressure from our D. We're seeing pressure from our D line, but
they're not finishing.
They have to close. And we're not seeing that. Our secondary has to be better too. I mean, our second corner, just trying to think of the correct way to say that, he kind of got cooked last week, and I think this week for him is going to be a confidence building. And he did. We love him. He's been great all season, but it was his first start this season. So I mean, we need to see like how that secondary is going to adjust, and it's not just on him; it's everybody. It's the safeties. It's Brian Cook. It's Ryan.
Everything.
It's Justin Reed. It's Trent McDuffie. It's all of them. Like y'all need to get active, and y'all, how are y'all communicating out there and making sure that what happened last week is not happening this week? And Patrick Mahomes just has to play smart, be clean. I mean, there was a point of time where we were averaging two interceptions and. Or 3 turnovers a game. And it cleaned up for about 2 weeks there. And then last week, he threw 2 interceptions again. So, you know, he has to be clean and really just building his relationship back with trusting his receivers because he's not trusting them right now. And praying for our left tackle to please get their life together this week.
J.C. Horn is doing interception. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to put that out there. He's doing interception.
When I say that I bet Patrick Mahomes interception every week, I'm not going against the Chiefs because I know that we can win when we have interceptions. But it's like if you're not putting it on your sports bet ticket at this point, you don't want to win money.
What are you really doing, right?
You don't want to win money.
J.C. Horn is due one. He's due a takeaway.
He's a ball hog.
Yeah.
And he has a chance. He has a chance to catch us slipping because
we got a chance. Okay.
God forbid. Yeah. God only knows what. It's just unbelievable. We are not using
Lexi.
I mean, We are not used to Patrick Mahomes throwing this many interceptions, so that's frustrating. He finally, like you said, cleaned it up for two games, and then threw two again last week. So it's, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that part, but our O-line has got to keep the pocket clean. They've got to keep the pocket clean. We've got to keep Patrick Mahomes upright. I think we got to get our tight ends involved more. I think Noah Gray, Travis Kelce, Peyton Hendershot has shown really good flashes. I think we get Isaiah Pacheco back this week. It's trending that way. So I think haven't confirmed it, but Ian Rappaport said on Sunday it's trending that way. We should hear more tomorrow about if we get Isaiah back or not, but in the press conference with Andy.
If you're going to listen to the Chiefs press conference, which you should. Andy Reid.
I absolutely plan on listening to that.
We're going to start off with looking forward to the challenge of playing the Carolina Panthers this week. They're a really good football team. That's how he's going to start it off.
Really well coached. Really, you know.
Great, well coached team, great coaching staff, great players. Yeah. Make sure you listen before the conference starts so you can say you heard it from here first.
The one thing you will not catch is anyone from the coaching staff to the players to anyone, like, they will not give you any bulletin board material. They will the Panthers, we don't respect them. They're going to be like, no, the Panthers have been playing great football, which you guys have in the past.
That's a well coached team.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a well-coached team.
It's a good locker room. I think getting our running backs, the 1-2 punch, if we get Pacheco back, I think with him and Kareem is going to be huge. I think that's going to be really, really good for us. So really looking forward to that. Just need our secondary to tighten up, need the D-line to capitalize on finishing out the sacks. And I think, with that, time's yours.
Yeah,
that's what Andy Reid says in his pressers.
I agree. So what are your – let's kind of get into score predictions so we can kind of talk about the games that we're looking forward to most for Week 12. So – and we usually do score predictions at the very end, but I don't know how long you're hanging out with us. So let's get into it now. While you're pulling that up, I'm going to get on the sports book right now to see what the spread is. It was something super egregious.
10.5 or 11.5?
It opened at 11 and then it went to 10. And I was like,
disrespectful. We don't do that.
If you know this Chiefs team, you know that we're going to win by like
2. We're not the Lions. We don't do that.
We don't blow teams out. It's not what we do over here. But I want to look on the sports book to see what it says now. 10.5 still. So it has the Chiefs as a 10.5-point favorite going into this game for some egregious reason. What is your score prediction?
This is a hard one. It's hard because y'all been flirting. Y'all been flirting with L's.
We're teases. We're teases.
Every week we've been like,
listen, our life.
I had to watch.
Going to shock the world and be a homer.
Do you it. Should.
I'm going to shock the world and be a homer. I'm going to go Panthers 21, Chiefs 20.
You know you got to score at least 28 points to beat us, right? Hence the Bills scoring 30.
I don't know.
How many games?
I got 21
before last week.
I'm gonna go 21-20.
Okay.
It was
because this isn't an offense that just lights up the scoreboard, other than the Raiders game, obviously. But I'm gonna go 21-20. I'm going slimmest of margins.
Okay.
Well, she's not saying 30, so I respect that, because the Chiefs actually, until the Bills game, we haven't given up 30 points since our Super Bowl against the Eagles.
Yeah.
So the defense has been solid. We have our critiques, right? But I'm obviously going to pick the Chiefs. I don't know what to expect from this game. I genuinely don't, because
it's tough to do a score prediction for this game because you don't know which two teams are showing up.
No, you don't. Showing up.
You I'm don't know which, you know what uniforms they'll be wearing, but you don't know which two teams are showing up.
Right. And I don't even know what they're wearing this weekend.
I know the Panthers are blacking it out. So,
oh yeah, ooh,
fun.
Ooh. Oh, we should
wear blacking it. They're blacking it out Sunday.
No, we'll probably go white on red, but we should go white on white. We should be white on white. That'd be more fun. That'd be more aesthetically pleasing. White on white. White, white, white,
white, white. I think they're gonna save that for the next week for the Raiders for Thanksgiving.
Oh, probably. Okay, because yeah, it's Black Friday, yeah. Yeah. All right, I think my score prediction, I'm going to go, like, 31.
Ooh! You think the Chiefs will score 31 points?
Yeah, I'm going to say 31.
Well, the Panthers' defense isn't great. They've been giving up over 30 points.
31-20. That's my prediction.
Oh! Yeah, my score prediction is very much like a 24-21. Or even something like a 21-17. Yeah, actually, yeah, 21-17 is where I'm at for this and week.
The only reason is because I think I have seen you guys struggled against tight ends, so I think Travis Kelce might have himself a game, and I think Noah Gray has been on a little roller, so I think tight ends start eating. We get our people involved now. No idea what to expect from this game plan because last week was not what I expected at all. So.
Not at all. I don't know. Yeah, I
but I'm never right.
Like,
so.
I think we only win by like two or three or four. I think it's going to be
probably
the whole entire game. And I feel like it's going to come down to the fourth quarter.
I
like
do
every
too.
Other game has. So I'm just. Not what.
No, yeah. I fully expect that.
Are there going to be a lot of fans that come out for this game?
I want to say yes because number one, the ticket price, and number two, yeah. You know, listen, if you need something to cheer for here, and they're coming off the two wins, so I do think that that it'll be a pretty good crowd. I do think it'll be a pretty good crowd.
Oh yeah,
what's that?
The Chiefs, our fans travel pretty well too, and. The weather's kind of weird here, and you guys probably have good weather there right now, so that's a reason.
Well, it'll be a little cold, but not like Kansas City cold.
Which
else cold is a little different.
Today, 60 and sunshine. So it wasn't cold.
Yeah.
Well, are you going to hang out with us while we talk about Week 12 games?
I could talk about a couple, then I got to go eat.
I feel you on that. So, no, we
are starving. We're starving.
No. Same.
Us too.
Kansas City branded drink.
Yeah, this is one of our sponsors. We have these little seltzers we're sipping on. We'll so.
Okay then.
Yeah, so we gotta figure out how to get you some.
What we do right here,
oh, yeah.
We just kind of talk about the Week 12 slates and what games we're most looking forward to, and we don't really dive into them. We just talk about what we're looking forward to, and then we just say who we think wins, who's gonna win that week or win that game. Right.
Okay.
So. Let's start off with Thursday night football. It's going to be so good. It's Steelers versus Browns in Cleveland. So the Steelers are on a heater right now. They are winning and they are hot. I don't know if y'all paid attention, but the AFC North drops their Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks in season. That's going to be dope.
Oh, it's going to be
Hard Knocks.
Yeah. When is
December
3rd? Wait, when is that happening?
It is December 3rd.
I thought it said December 3rd, right?
Yeah, that's what I saw. It's December 3rd.
Okay,
like in 2 weeks. Like in 2 weeks. So the AFC North has been, and I think when we knew that this was going to happen, we were like, oh, that's going to be really good. But then I don't think anybody expected the division to be like this. Nobody thought the Bengals were going to be last, okay? No one thought that. So with this game, who do you guys think wins Steelers versus Browns on Thursday Night Football?
I'll let you go first, Sheena.
You're the guy.
I'm going Steelers. They're on a roll coming off of that big win over the Ravens and just the experience. You know, the experience. Mike Tomlin and Russell Wilson. So I'm giving it to the Steelers.
I agree. I think the parity in that division is hilarious, though. Like, you never know who's going to
pick up. But that's the thing about the NFL, man. Like, last season, they were on top of the top. You know, so
right. It's so funny how it all works. I agree. I think Steelers.
I agree with y'all both. I'm definitely going Steelers. Steelers are hot. They are streaking right now. They are trying to win that division, and you know, if they keep winning and the Ravens keep losing, You never know what's going
on. I want to add real quick for this week 12 slate. There's a lot of teams on bye, and there's not a lot of great games to like choose from. So,
but then like Monday night football should be good too, though.
The Monday night, yeah, the Sunday
Ravens
night,
and Chargers, right?
Some of, like yeah, there's some yeah, random ones, but the noon slate is rough. The noon slate is rough.
Got it. So yeah, girl, the next why, yeah, we have a noon game: yeah, Vikings versus only Bears one in Chicago at noon. Who do we think wins this game? People in the comments, tell us who y'all think wins too.
The easy thing would be to say the Vikings.
Yes.
That would be the easy guess with, you know, Chicago firing, was that the offensive coordinator? Interestingly enough, Thomas Brown will be calling plays. He was just here in Carolina last year. So, I mean, it's cool that he's getting another opportunity, but he keeps getting the worst situations and yeah, scenarios. But I guess an opportunity is an opportunity. So because of the unrest there and their locker room is in shambles, I'm going to go Vikings. I mean, they're in shambles in the shop.
Yeah, no, that's not a good locker room.
No.
I think it's going to be another close one. I think it's going to be like the Packers-Bears last week, how that came down to the blocked field goal once again.
The
Bears are so
special teams, man.
I know. I just feel like it'll probably go to the Vikings.
And I'm telling you, like, but the Panthers fans are loving the demise of the Chicago Bears this
season. I'm sure.
Listen.
Well, listen.
What did Cat Williams say? You shouldn't have been talking.
Right.
Looking like the 2023 Panthers.
Right.
I'm gonna
go Vikings for this game. I think, yeah. I mean, Sam Darnold's been great. Freaking Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson both get touchdowns every week. Put them on your ticket too. For sure, Jordan Addison, if not Justin Jefferson. But yeah, I'm gonna go Vikings as well. Now, this next game is gonna be pretty good. I'm excited for this one. Cardinals at Seahawks at 3:25, 4:25 your time. So the Cardinals are the number one in their division right now, and everybody else is 5-5, which is crazy. All the rest of them are 5-5, and they still have the chance. And I believe the Cardinals are 6-5. So all the rest of the teams still have the chance to get the number one seed in that division, which I didn't even watch the Niners game this past week because the Chiefs game was on, but I was like, oh my God, they lost, which I was
not
expecting to lose this past week. So
yeah.
Who wins Cardinals at Seahawks this week? Geno's been Seahawks. Trying to act like he got his life together, but not really.
I'm going Seahawks.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to stick with my guns. I've been riding the Cardinals for weeks now. I'm going to stick with the Cardinals. I think they're on a hot streak, and I think they're finding their rhythm, and I'm enjoying it. I think it's a fun team right now, so I'm going to go Cardinals.
Him and Marvin Harrison and K1 finally got rhythm, and it felt like it took a
few years to
finally. And their tight end is really good. Their tight end, their running game is good. Like they haven't even allowed a touchdown in a few weeks, I think. So
I'm gonna go Seahawks because I think the sixth man gets them. I think it's gonna be too loud, and they're not gonna know how to deal with the atmosphere. And Kyler Murray's really good.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm going with them.
What a weird division. 6-4, 5-5, 5-5, 5-5.
That's what I just said.
That is a very weird division. It is a very weird division.
I do not like that there are so many good games at 3:25. Next game is 49ers with Packers. I already know who I think who's winning this game.
I'm going Packers.
Lexi.
I honestly am struggling with this one.
I was when I saw it on the slate. That's the one that I really was thinking hard about.
Yes.
But I think it's going to be the Packers. I like the Niners.
I like the Niners too, but is George Kittle playing this week?
Right. Is George Kittle playing?
That's that injury bug has been feasting in the
bag.
I feel like they're going to be – okay. Actually, I'm going to take the Packers too.
I'm absolutely
close though.
This week. Jordan Love is trying to get his stride, and the Niners are struggling. Now, they need the win more than anybody, but I think they're going to take another L this week. Sunday Night Football is Eagles at Rams. This will be good, and the Rams are starting to get hot, and I feel like the Rams are going to be able to make a difference in this back half of the season and maybe get a wild card in the NFC, maybe disrupt what's happening in the NFC.
Division. Yeah.
They're starting to get their way. And I mean, Sean McVay, he's so great. Like if we didn't have
Andy, great head coach.
I would want him if we didn't have Andy.
Yeah.
We'll win.
Who you got?
Eagles. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. Saquon is on a tear, man.
He's on a tear.
Saquon is on a tear.
If one of the MVPs.
He's on a tear. I'm definitely going Eagles. I mean, then you have Smitty, Jalen Hurts, and then, you know, AJ Brown's he literally is always open.
Yeah.
I mean, legit, whether he gets ball or not, he's always open. So
but we hate Nick Sirianni real bad. So it's hard.
I know y'all do. Somebody said he looks like the kid from Elf. And now I can't unsee it. He really does. I can't unsee it. He really does. Like, wait a minute. I'm over here doing math. Like, what year was this? But yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly.
I kind of
Lexi, you don't want to say it. You don't want to say it.
Because I'm the same way. I feel it. It's not that.
I had the Eagles last week against the Commanders. I thought they fully had that, and they did. They won pretty well. I'm kind of sold on the Rams. I'm gonna pick the Rams just for fun.
Jalen is battling with a wrist injury, right?
Is it wrist or was it?
And that's the thing, because we won't get those injury reports until tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah. And I feel like in the game last week.
Yeah, we got to wait on those.
He tweaked his wrist. Like, yeah. He came back in the game, but he tweaked it or something. Which, I think he's been battling with something all year, though. But
I don't know. I could see the Rams upsetting them. I think the Eagles are kind of on this, like, high right now. They have, like, these really good, like, rookie cornerbacks, and they have, like, they're finding their stride, but they're on a high. And I think the Rams have a really good run game too when they want to as well. So they have Puka Nacua, they have Cooper Kupp. I mean, Matthew Stafford has been playing really well the last few weeks.
Some respect on him.
Yeah. So
former Kansas City Chief DeMarcus Robinson. No, I'm going with the Eagles this week too, and I think it has everything to do with that offense and nothing to do with the coaching.
Yeah.
Saquon has.
I could change my mind by Sunday, but I'm liable. But
he's been good. Yeah. And it helps me to choose them. All right, and then Monday Night Football, probably the best game of the weekend. Ravens
definitely.
Chargers. Ravens can't afford to lose, and Chargers
cannot
lose. So, and they are in LA this week.
Yeah, neither, and it's Harbaugh crime.
It is the Harbaugh Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the time difference for the Ravens, that's a 4-hour time difference. Three hour time difference for them. So that may play a role. When's the last time they've been on the West Coast like that? So
I don't think it will, because it's a Monday game. You know what I mean? It's a Monday night game. So they have time to get their bearings. Yeah, they get their time to get their bearings. Man, this one is hard too.
This one is really
hard. It's hard because the Chargers are finding their stride and the Ravens are losing theirs.
Yeah.
I read something earlier that John, I think, is 2-0 against Jim in the NFL.
Interesting.
So Ravens John is 2-0 against Chargers Jim. However, Jim's on a new team now. It's a whole different thing.
And they look good. The Chargers look very good.
They look good, but the Ravens got a chip. I think they go into this game with a chip on their shoulder.
Yeah, last week.
And they know that they have to get in the end zone because Justin Tucker is a liability. Like, I feel so crazy saying that, but Justin Tucker is a liability.
I know. Who would have ever thought?
King Henry, if he does what we know he can do, I got the Ravens.
As long as they don't give up on the run and they continue to stick with the run, because there was one game where they didn't even get Derrick Henry active until like the third quarter, and I'm like, what are y'all doing?
Last week,
it was last week and the week before. Like the week before, he had like 10 yards going into like the third quarter, and he ended with like 105 or something and a touchdown. And I was like,
something
why
crazy.
Are y'all just now getting him at
right?
That I don't understand.
I'm going Ravens.
Okay, I actually am going Chargers.
Chargers? And
I think it's because I think we saw how the Ravens played against a really good Steelers defense last week. I think the Chargers defense is a lot to handle. They've played very well. They kind of gave up a lot to Joe Burrow in the second half, but Joe Burrow has been playing very well. So has Ja'Marr Chase. I don't think Lamar and their weapons have what it takes against the Chargers defense. I could be wrong, but I think their defense is far and away better than the Ravens defense right now, and that's why I'm picking the Chargers.
Yeah, I'm actually picking the Chargers too, and I'm very surprised that I am.
Right. I wouldn't have said that like week one, but
said it like 3 weeks ago.
No.
I the Chargers this week just because the freaking AFC West all of a sudden is good, and nobody like honestly the Chiefs technically cannot lose another game because the way that the Broncos are starting to win, so
and they have easier remaining schedules, so
yeah, I'm gonna go Chargers just because I think they I'm gonna go them, and I hope I'm wrong, but either way,
I don't want it
playoffs in the AFC, and the Chiefs might have to see either one of them soon anyway. So
yeah,
well thank you so much for hanging out with us for our week 12 recap.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
The Chiefs versus the Panthers, which is going to be a really great matchup, in the first one, like we said, that we've had in the last 4 years. So I will say I'm very excited to see Bryce Young and Xavier Leggett. Like, I cannot wait to watch both of them on the field. I'm very excited to see them.
I think Coker is slept on too, so I'm excited.
That's what I'm telling you guys. Those rookie players.
Yeah, someone to watch out for.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, for sure.
Before you get out of here, please tell everybody where they can find you at, what your platforms are, all of the things, how to find you. Y'all go follow. So
let me see where my underscore is. I know it's one somewhere in there. So on Twitter, I am Sheena_Marie and the number 3. That's, you know, the same on Threads, Instagram, and Twitter. I just joined with Blue Sky.
Welcome. Let me go find you.
I'm over there. I'm still kind of learning my bearings. It's just Sheena Quick, you know, no spaces or anything, just my first and last name. So I look forward to chatting with you guys over there throughout the game on Sunday and, you know, whenever you guys will have me again.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. And
thanks, ladies.
I think we're in for a good game. So maybe
I think it's going to be a much better game than people think.
Oh no, for sure.
I agree. It could be a slept-on matchup. So if y'all need a noon game really to tune into, if y'all don't have a team at noon playing, tune into our game because it could be good.
Can we play at noon?
I think so.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. We don't play a lot of noon. We do.
I was just going to wake up early on Sunday and figure it out as the day went. But that's good to know that we play.
sure do.
It's at noon your time, 1 o'clock here.
Listen, they could have flexed it. Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
They could have put it in the spot. No, we could have been Sunday Night Football. No.
Listen, they didn't get the
Panthers. It wasn't Eagles Rams
this season. Right. Yeah, they didn't get any primetime games this season.
Next year.
They didn't. Girl, they were 2-15.
I mean, but
I mean, that's what happens. They have to earn those primetime slots back.
Yeah, for sure. Next year.
That's how it goes.
Next season.
Yeah. It's always next season.
But thank you, ladies, for joining us. We appreciate you.
Have a good night. Go get some dinner. Eat something delicious.
Yeah, go eat.
You too. I can't wait. I love food. Bye, ladies.
All right, bye.
I love her. She's hilarious.
Oh, she's awesome. All right. Well, we didn't even get into the NFL.
Didn't even what?
We didn't even get into around the NFL, but we didn't even need to.
No, we don't.
We actually don't even need to.
Yeah, in NFL, I mean, we'll be able to bring that to y'all next week. When we have a guest on, we want to always make sure we're asking them as many questions as we can. So we really hope that y'all enjoyed Sheena. And again, she has a huge following on all of her platforms. So y'all go follow her because she's amazing. And
she's awesome.
Like she said, she's been covering that team for almost 9 years now. So, I mean, that's incredible to have that much like longevity with one organization. Like,
right.
Salute to her for that. So,
yeah, she's a real one. She's a real one.
Literally one of the realest. Well, let's get out of here. Before we get out of here, shout out to the almost 1,600 people who are listening in with us right now. Like, super grateful for y'all. Appreciate y'all. Please make sure that if you are listening on YouTube, you hit the like button. You probably have to go out, hit the like button, and then come back in. Take a second and go and do that for us right now. Please like this episode. Thank you so much. And then we got a whole bunch of sponsors to get into. I'm like, a whole bunch of sponsors to get into. Shout out to Quirk.
I want to click on it. Shout out to Quirk.
Sorry, I did not mean to scream. My hand just crept up when I was trying to press the button. Oh my God. real pain. But shout out to Autograph. If Lexi spoke about it earlier, if you have not downloaded the app yet, please download the Autograph app. You can go on there and watch all of the sports content, your favorite sports content all around, NBA, NFL, MLB, WNBA, whatever, college, everything is on there. Download the app. Make sure that when you do it, you enter the promo code Kingdom Queens so they can know that we told y'all to go there. But it's a great app. You can go on there, listen to all kind of podcasts and just all kind of great things on there, along with getting tickets to games.
Ticket sales, giveaways, all kinds
I'm
of good
really
stuff.
I'm really interested to get on there to see how cheap the tickets are for the Panthers
coming
game.
Up. Yeah.
You know that they are probably like, I don't think Arrowhead has ever seen tickets that cheap ever since.
Listen.
Like years. So
if y'all are like out in Carolina or near there, like, check it out, because you never know what you're going to find.
And they said they're going to have good weather this weekend, too. So, like,
why not? Good fall weather. Might as well.
Yeah. If I was closer, I would probably definitely.
For sure. Yeah.
Like, no hesitation.
For sure.
Shout out to Homage. I haven't talked to them, but great product. I actually just wore, like, one of my long sleeves that I just got from the other day, because yesterday the weather was super cold and rainy all of a sudden, and then today it was sunshine and 60. I don't understand Kansas City weather at all. This is probably why we're all sick, but shout out to Homage. Make sure you go on their website. They just dropped a whole bunch of new product for the fall and the winter collections, and it's some really good stuff on there, and they sell more than just NFL. They sell NBA, WNBA, all kind of things. It's not necessarily just football, and it's getting ready to be the holiday season, so you probably need to start buying Christmas gifts now anyway, because Thanksgiving's next week. So go on to Homage's website.
Yeah. And I think they have a deal right now with their starter jackets too, where you can get free shipping if you get a starter jacket. So check those out if you're in need of a jacket, or you know.
Oh, the starter collection is like elite.
That's awesome.
It's great. And then shout out to our newest brand sponsorship, Pink Lips Cosmetics. So much great product on there, especially with all, they have so many cute lippies right now for the girlies. Like, it's getting ready to be the holiday season. You want to wear a cute red lip.
Perfect stocking stuffer. Like, perfect stocking stuffer.
Very good, like, price ranges too. Like,
yeah.
They're also in Target. So ladies, I know y'all go to Target every other day like us. Go in there and go look at the makeup aisle, and you'll see Pink Lips product in the Target, every Target around the country too. You'll see it in there too.
And it's local and female owned. So we love that.
Yes. Based out of Kansas City. Shout out to them. We're actually going to pick up a ton of product tomorrow. So cannot wait.
Yes. So then we can like actually even show it on our faces.
Promise.
Be great.
There's also stuff for men too. So like there is good
skincare.
Cleaning. God bless.
Cleansing.
There's moisturizer. There's things on there for the guys too. So it's important for y'all to have good skin and not crusty lips. So get on there and find something for yourself as well, and make sure you use the promo code.
Yes.
I can't believe Thanksgiving is next week in real life.
I can't either. And we also have Boulevard. Did we even say Boulevard? Did we say them or
I'm not? Shout out to Boulevard Brewery. We're out of tabs.
Boulevard. I know. We're out of tabs. Shout out Boulevard. They gave us a ton of free seltzer the other week, and we are so thankful for them for inviting us to their events. And they have the best seltzers in Kansas City, like hands down. Love the quirks. They have so many different flavors. It's fantastic. My They're all delicious. Cheese. I've not found one I don't like. So be sure to check them out. They also have really festive beers right now. They have all kinds of stuff. So we love Boulevard, and thank you to them as well. So with that, we are into week 12.
Out of here for the night. Again, if you have not liked this episode yet, please take a moment to go into your YouTube and like it. Again, you probably got to back out, like it, and then come back in and listen to the remainder of the episode, but make sure you go hit that like button right now. You can follow us everywhere: Instagram, X, Spotify, YouTube, like every platform that you can think of. Literally, that's where we're at. So if you're not following Kingdom Queens, please go on there and do that. And then you can also go click on our Linktree Linktree and see every single thing that we've talked to y'all about today. So all of the brand partnerships, everywhere to find us on every platform, listen to us, all of that good stuff. So shout out to y'all. Thanks for tapping in with us for this week. And we will see y'all later. I'm hungry too. Sheena was on the right track there. I'm starving.
Same. Time to go so we're going to go eat dinner. So... thank you guys for tuning in. Love y'all. Bye.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Corporate megastores are spending millions lobbying D.C. politicians on one-sided policies that send small businesses tumbling. They want to enact harmful credit card mandates that take resources away from your local credit union and community bank, leaving Main Street businesses with less access to credit, making it harder for your family to pay for everyday goods like gas and groceries. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.